God bless you. I just feel the presence of the Lord so strong up here tonight. I want to mention this. I can't get everybody what I'd like to get you for Christmas, but I can give you a Bible. And so my wife, Sherry, will be at the table to get you one of these Bibles if you want one of these after service, or a tape of poems, or a tape of the Eternal Shalls. And that's just our way of saying thanks. And if you want to do some Christmas shopping at our tape table, it won't make us one bit mad, because the proceeds go to feed the hungry. Me and my wife get hungry every Christmas. How many knows what I'm saying? We really appreciate. Let me tell you this. The greatest Christmas gifts I believe you can give is the Pensacola Outpouring Tapes. Honey, Where We're From, The Voice of Many Waters, and then Glory on Your House. These are powerful tapes. We just got a new shipment in, as well as the book. If you don't have the book, Feast of Fire, everybody needs that to read about the great revival. I believe it's the beginning of the last great move of God. It's going to be a fast revival, going to be a spreading revival. And while the church is shouting and praising God, and we think, my God, this is so awesome, God's saying, you ain't seen anything yet, it's going to rapture us. Amen. We're going to see him in the clouds of glory. And I believe that. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming on the heels of this revival. I'm not going to play the dating game and set a date. I'd be a fool to do so. But I believe this is the rapture generation. And unless you've lived in a cave or a coma, you know what's wrapping up. Amen. This thing is coming to an end. And so we have tapes. We also have commentaries and Bible covers and different things that I think will be a blessing for you, to you this Christmas. There's one verse of scripture that God has for you tonight. And I feel so good coming out here knowing that I didn't get a sermon to try to bring to you to bless you. But I've heard from God and I have a message for you tonight. So God saw you coming. He knew you was going to be here tonight. And so this message has your name on it. God's going to minister to you. Has nothing to do with me, but boy, to hear his voice. And for him to tell me, I want you to share this word with the people that are there tonight. Before we do that, I've told you my appreciation for your pastors and the staff. And I just feel led of God to do that. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And so I honor the pastor and his staff here at the church, the secretarial staff. Everybody's been so kind to me and my wife this Christmas season. We say thanks. But there's a couple people that really are instrumental in us being here. And these have been our dear friends for many, many years. When the Holy Spirit started moving on my heart to get back out into evangelism, he said, it's going to be different. Don't you schedule anything. Preachers will come up, beg you for a meeting, shake their hand, tell them how thrilled you would to be with them. Don't hurt their feelings, but say, you're not booking anything. And that's the way we are right now. How many knows you don't book God? You don't schedule God. Amen? And I've used the analogy, you don't schedule a hurricane, and you don't schedule a tornado. Now, there are signs that one's coming, you can get ready for it. And so if I find churches and preachers that are praying and seeking God for months, that's where I want to go. I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't care if they pay you $1 million. Well, I might go and get the offering. Amen. But, you know, just one offering. But in all sincerity, folks, I'm telling you, it's an unusual day. It can't be business as usual. It's rapture generation. It's revival time. And so when Brother Harlan and Sister Drenda was telling me about Brother Baser and his heart for revival, I knew that this could be the revival that God wants us to come to. And so I just want to say thanks to Harlan and Drenda. Don't you appreciate these folks? Amen. Appreciate them so very much. They're just tremendous friends of ours and some of the greatest friends we have. Ladies and gentlemen, in Luke 12, verse 1, Jesus is speaking. In the meantime, say it with me. In the meantime, say it again. That's the message tonight. In the meantime, when they were gathered together in a numerous multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Three words, four words, if you will. The beginning of that verse, in the meantime. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody has a meantime. Jesus had a meantime. It's that time between the promise of God and the provision of God. It's that waiting time. And I don't like to wait. I want it now. And so do you. So don't look so pious. Amen. We're all that way. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. Give me all you got for me right now. Do it right now, Lord. But there is that meantime. For Moses, it was 80 years. For Joseph, 40 years. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, shouted, let me out of here. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen. And yet for 30 years of meantime, preparation for 1 and 1/2 year ministry, been incarcerated 1 year and 4 months. Life isn't fair, but God is good. And he's God even in the meantime. I think of Daniel waiting 21 days. I think of Mary and Martha, the sisters, waiting 4 days. I think of the champion apostle in Arabia, 3 years. I think of Christ, the silent years. The meantime, my hour is not yet come. He had a meantime, the time between the promise of God and the provision of God. Between the promise and the provision, there's a waiting time, the waiting room. And the Bible is a book of rooms. Psalms is the music room, melodious, harmonious praises waft into our soul as we peruse and muse through the book of Psalms. The book of Luke is the doctor's room or the hospital room. The great physician heals. The book of Mark, the emergency room, 36 times straightway and immediately. The book of Acts is the upper room. The book of Romans is the courtroom. The epistles, the schoolroom. Revelation is the throne room. How many knows we're going to end there in the throne room and we're going to worship him forever? But in all of these books of the Bible, in the life of every child of God, there is a waiting room. Yesterday was Saturday, Friday night, my brother's house in Salem got a tremendous toothache and it was throbbing. I don't like toothaches. I don't like dentists either, but I don't like toothaches. And so I went to the dentist Saturday and for maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, waiting. And we don't want to wait. You can see it in Branson traffic as they're honking the horn, wanting you to move. You can see it in lines as you go to get food or the bank or whatever. Everybody's in a hurry, going here and there, doing this and that. But I'm going to tell you, there are times in your life when God will stop you still and pull you aside to a waiting room, and it's called the meantime. Now, I know what to do when God heals my body. I can shout just as loud as you can shout. I can run the aisles. I know what to do when money's in my pocket. Everything's going good. My body's healed. Family's saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I know how to give God glory during those times. Would somebody tell me what to do during the meantime? Because I've been through a meantime. And things get pretty mean in a meantime, if you will. America right now is in a meantime. 3,000 divorces a day, 4,000 abortions a day. There is a spirit in the land, and if you will, that word I may be using as a double entendre, but if you're not careful, during a meantime, you'll lose patience, get irritable, and you allow the spirit of the world to lead and guide and motivate. You'll be driven by fear and worry and doubt and anxiety. Ladies and gentlemen, the world says in the meantime, you need to take sedatives and stimulants and downers and uppers and call 900 numbers or go shopping or whatever. But how many knows God is the God of the valley as well as the mountains? He's the God in the lion's den. He's the God in the fiery furnace. He's the God in the backside of the desert. He's the God in the Philippian jail. He's God in the meantime. He's God every time, all the time, anytime, not just sometime. Give him a hand of praise. And when I see this waiting period in the life of Christ, God begins to give me a message for you tonight. The Bible is a hive full of bees, Bible bees. It says be born again, be filled with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. But there are four Bible bees that God's going to sting you with tonight. And it's going to help you to know what to do in the meantime. Number one, the Bible says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful. Say it with me. Say it again. Didn't say be successful. The criteria for success in many lives is new job, new car, new home, this, that, and the other, things, thrills, theories. But God's definition of success is be faithful. Now, it's simple as that. I want everybody here to collect your thoughts and direct your attention this way. Because I believe God's wanting to tell you something tonight. You may not be able to tickle the ivories like Cindy, play the organ like Linda, sing like Jerry, Bill. You may not be able to preach. You may not be able to give a million, but I'm going to tell you, everybody here can be faithful to the house of God. You can be faithful to prayer meeting. You can be faithful to read the Word of God. And on that great, grand, glorious day when you stand in the hallowed halls of heaven, angels waft their wings and God looks at you over the loudspeakers of glory, he's not going to reverberate, well done, hot shot, big mama, big papa. You're the only spoke in the wheel. You've done some big things, some big ways. No, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys prepared for you before the foundation of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me. That's one thing I want to hear fall from the lips of God. You may not be able to give as much money as you want to give, but everybody here, if you've got health, you can show up every time the doors are open. You can be at prayer meeting, and I'm believing tonight God's going to get a hold of you. God's going to touch you and let you know while you're waiting for something better and something greater. In the meantime, you can come to church, lift your hands, praise the Lord, give God glory, pray in prayer meetings. Come on. Come on, folks. Simple as that. The race is not to the swift, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not how fast, how long you last. You keep on going. You keep on going. That Energizer Bunny, it's humorous, but you know, it just, there's no stopping it. The energy is there. Just keep on going day in and day out. The people that have left an indelible, impeccable impression upon my life as a preacher's boy growing up, seeing the backside of the ministry. And I remember great preachers, but I'll tell you what really left the impression on my life was the faithfulness and the consistency of God's servants who were there every service. And you could see their smiling face. And when I got ready to preach and God called me to ministry and I jumped up and preached everybody into hell, some of the best saints I preached into hell. I can see Sister Reed as she would sit there and shake her head and clap her hands. And she knew I had more zeal than wisdom, but she loved me and she was behind me. And ladies and gentlemen, these are the people the church is made up of. These are the people left an impact upon my life. When Dad was heartbroken, you see, Dad, 10 kids in the family. Dad worked at a tire shop to support the family. He pastored the country church by the side of the road. And we never had a lot of revivals because what evangelist wants to come to preach to 25 people? And 12 of them was my family, amen. And so there just wasn't a lot of evangelists calling my dad. But one day, a former DCAP who had a tremendous rapport with young guys and gals, and he could really preach, Dad had the chance to get him, and so Dad booked him. Maybe the young man didn't know the size of the church, but he filled his schedule, and Dad was so excited because, you see, Dad's son, John, I was the middle child of the family. I was a prodigal son at that time. I was lost without God, and Dad knew it, and Dad knew that this young man had the ability to reach me, and so he booked him. He talked about it, and Dad began to put back his money from the tire shop to make sure that the evangelist was well taken care of, had a good offering. But right before the revival, 2 weeks before the revival, the evangelist found out the size of the church and he canceled my dad. And my dad was heartbroken. My dad didn't know what to do, and he was praying, seeking God. And I was even looking forward to the revival. And finally, Dad reached out. One night, God sent an old preacher from the hills of Kentucky who had been fasting and praying and seeking God. Fasting and praying and seeking God. And Dad started revival. It lasted 2 weeks. I remember the old preacher. Don't remember what he said. He stuttered, stumbled around. But I remember the sincerity, the faithfulness. From sunup to sundown, he was in prayer as he prayed for that revival. Sunup to sundown, seeking the face of God. I can hear Brother Stroop praying tonight. You see, I was a prodigal preacher's kid. But I remember the faithfulness and the sincerity. Ladies and gentlemen, the crowds were not large. They were very small. Sometimes just our family and a few others. But Brother Stroop kept on preaching, kept on seeking the face of God. At the end of that revival, there wasn't a lot of people saved. There was only one saved. Only one saved. And somebody said later, you know, there wasn't that much accomplished in that revival. And I resented that remark because I was that one saved. Amen. God got a hold of me and changed my life. And tonight, I want to salute the faithful saints. I see your face. Some of you, I don't know your name yet. I haven't got around to meeting you. But you've been here 10 weeks, going into 10 weeks, night after night. And those that haven't been here because of jobs or working or situation, every time you can, you show up. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't have to mention your name. Pastor don't have to mention your name, but there's coming a time in the hallowed halls of heaven when God's going to mention your name over the loudspeakers and say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. How many knows it's going to be worth it all? I said, it's going to be worth it all. Lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a word for you tonight, and that's this: be faithful. It's a meantime for you. You're in the waiting room. God gave you a promise, and you haven't seen the fulfillment of that promise. Seemingly, you're at the backside of the desert, but the backside of the desert leads to the front door of God. During that time, if you fail to be faithful, it's going to take longer for God to move you to the vanguard, the front line. God hadn't forgotten you. You may feel that way at times. Joseph, forgotten by his brothers, betrayed by his brothers, forgotten by the butler, the baker, seemingly thrown away and out of the mainstream, but God had his eyes on him the whole time. Things happen to you, so things can happen in you, so things can happen through you. Dan Bell preached a message one time. I never forgot the message. He said, between the call of God and the calendar of God, there's the conditioning of God. Abraham had a meantime. God, you told me you're going to give me a bouncing baby boy. Lord, you spoke to me that the seed shall be, my sand shall be as the seed and the stars in the sky. What about the meantime? If you're not careful, you'll get lack in your slack in your prayer, in your Bible study, in your church attendance. You'll feel like a zero. The devil is there to build those feelings inside of you. Lord, what's happened? The devil will tell you what's happened. He'll say, remember when you was a little boy and you did that great sin? You blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. Remember when you said this and said that? He will build those feelings in you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Holy Ghost convicts you to set you free, but the devil condemns you to hurt you and to harm you. Here's how you tell the difference. If a sin starts coming to your mind, say, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. If it's still there, it's the devil. Amen. Because how many knows when you say, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name, that sin is forgiven, forgotten, forever? Come on. Turn the table on the devil. Don't let him hound and haunt you anymore. God showed me, Pastor, 10 years ago on a 21-day fast, no TV, no fellowship with anybody, no food, some liquids. My God, I saw a mighty revival. I knew it was going to happen the next week, and so I started preaching it. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just now starting, 10 years later. And so you see, we live in time. God lives in eternity. There's a meantime. In that meantime, just stay consistent. Stay faithful. God, you can count on me. I don't understand things, and things aren't going well, but I'm coming to your house. I'll be there, Lord. You'll see my hand waving at you. That's me, Jesus. I may not feel a thing, but I love you anyhow, and I'm going to give you glory. Number one, be faithful. Say it with me. Be faithful. Psalms 104, be thankful. Say it with me. Be thankful. Say it again. The first step in backsliding is to quit praising God. And the devil will work on you in the meantime. He'll shut your mouth, put his hand over your mouth, and he'll say, you don't need to praise God because you don't feel God. And because you're at a time when nothing's happening. I'm going to tell you something, folks, that's a trick of the devil, to trip and to trap you. And the first step in backsliding is to quit praising God. A spirit of ingratitude comes along, and I'm going to tell you, the devil can depress, bring depression in your mind. I went to a nursing home the other day. After a lady called and she was weeping uncontrollably, can you come and see me? As I walked in, I saw a lady who was in a vice of depression. Her mind was encapsulated in a bubble of demonic depression. And as she began to moan and groan and tell me about her troubles, I said, listen, don't say another negative thing. I laid hands on her head. I removed that spirit of depression. I rebuked that spirit of gloom and doom. And I said, I want you to replace that negative talk with praise. Let's count your blessings. We begin to count her blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, when I left that room, and I'm not bragging on John Davis, you know it's not me that done that for her. When I left that room, that same lady that was in a vice of depression was in a bubble of glory, giving God praise and honor and thanking Jesus. Pain can rack your body, but you can shout in the devil's teeth anyway. How many knows that? Hallelujah. Come on, give God glory. Give him a hand of praise. Habakkuk says it like this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from this herd, and there shall be no flock in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will joy in my God. Ladies and gentlemen, sounds like depression, sounds like economic failure. In the midst of everything going on around you, you can shout, you can sing, you can give God glory, Job said, after he had lost everything. It's one thing to go to a funeral for one kid, but try looking at 10 coffins. Try looking at 10 caskets. Seemingly lost everything, but he never lost his faith. And if you don't have a dime to your name, if you've got faith in God, you're a multi-billionaire because he's got it all. My God, I just felt a streak of glory. If you don't shout, I'm going to run the aisles tonight. Amen. Right here in December. I'm telling you, folks, Job, right in the midst of friends that didn't understand, a wife that said, curse God and die. The Bible said that Job gave God glory. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, folks, there's people in this place that's going through a mean time. You're not there yet. You're coming, but you're not there yet. Some of you have stopped. You've stalled. You're looking back. You're looking around. I thought you told me that you was going to get me out of debt, Lord. I thought you said you was going to meet this need. You told me he's going to save my kids. I'm telling you, God doesn't lie. God's still faithful. It's a test, and you'll never have a testimony till you have a test. I said, you'll never have a conquest till you have a conflict. You'll never have a triumph until you have a trial. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we want God to part the water. We just don't want Pharaoh chasing us. Amen. We want to meet the fourth man, but not in the fiery furnace. Keep me out of there. Oh, we love to see those lions get locked jaw, but we don't want to be sitting next to them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, God will take you through those things, allow things. People turn against you. They lie on you. They do you dirty. Read the Bible, folks. There it is in black and white. Everybody had a mean time. It's not happening, Lord. I'm trying to work it up. I'm doing my best. It's not happening. God says, stay faithful. And whatever you do, keep on singing. Father, I'm not healed and my family's not saved, but I know they're going to be. And so until then, my heart shall go on singing. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to shout the shout of faith. I'm going to run the aisle on credit. I'm going to keep on and keeping on. Devil, you're not going to snuff my shout out. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Come on, give God a hand of praise. My God, hallelujah. Glory. Come on, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, don't you lose that attitude of thanksgiving. The best preacher in the world can't help you if you lose that. The best church in the world. And this is one reason. As I sit here, night after night, this choir singing praise and thanksgiving. Only missed one night going into 10 weeks. That's because of inclement weather. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is so awesome. I believe the day's coming. The building's not going to be able to hold people that are coming from a four-state area. And they're coming because there's a presence here. As you begin to brag on Jesus, God likes people bragging on his boy. Amen. He just comes and hangs around. And when God comes down, people's going to come. You know why? They need healing, therapy. Sedatives and stimulants cannot do what the catharsis of praise and the therapy of thanksgiving can do. There's a power, a potent force. All of a sudden, you don't see your problems. You see your problem solver. My God's a great big wonderful God. I'm gonna make it. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm limping, but I'm coming. Come on, give him a hand. Hallelujah. A king was depressed, called his wise sages together, and they come to the conclusion, find the happiest man in the world, wear his shoes, you'll be happy. He sent people out to find the happiest man in the world. They came back. They said, we found him, but he doesn't have any shoes. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to, you may not have shoes, a car, a home. You got Jesus. You got everything. I said, you got everything. I'm happy because he's in me. Hallelujah. Glory. Another story. Sometimes these stories bring other stories to mind. Man came in wearing one shoe. Preacher said, hey, you lost a shoe. He said, no, I found one. Amen. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I found a shoe. Come on. Give him a hand of praise. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've got pastor friends up in Arnold, Missouri. We was there in revival before we came here. But she talked about, the pastor's wife talked about having the Fijian choir there not long ago. The Fijian choir don't have the nice things that we have here in America, but you wouldn't know it. They're so caught up in Jesus. And one night she said, I sat on the front pew and I saw the little girl as she grabbed the guitar and she sat there. She didn't have shoes on, but she began to sing this song. As she sung this song, she patted her foot and she said, I have everything I need to make me happy. I've got Jesus to show me the way. And the end of the song simply says, now I have everything. Ladies and gentlemen, Doris Brown, to hear her tell it, she said, I broke and I bawled and I squalled in an age of plenty. You watch it. Christmas comes around. The little ones grab a gift. They'll tear it open, look at it, get tired of it, throw it away. Tear another one open, get tired of it, throw it away. And so it's not giving them more things that's going to make them happy. It's introducing them to Jesus who satisfies and sustains. It's the Beatitudes that brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. What are you saying? In the meantime, don't lose your song. I said, don't lose your song. My God, you may have to sing through clenched teeth and tears coming down your face, but I'm going to sing anyhow. I'm going to sing praise unto our God. Pain's wrecking my body. My family's not saved, but I love Jesus. Amen. Come on, give God glory. Give God praise. James 5, 6, and 7. Be patient. Say it with me. Be patient. Patience is not enduring. We're all doing that. Patience is enduring without complaining. We're not all doing that. Say amen, somebody. The ability to endure without complaining. Church was having trouble in Florida, true story. Don't remember where I heard it, but I've shared it time and again. Pastor pulling his hair out, trying to accommodate and appease and please the folk. You can't please carnal folk. It's like spoiled babies. You can't please them. And so they come up with a conclusion that's going to have what they call a gripe night. Take one night from 7 o'clock to however long it took. Just let everybody air, you know, their grievances and ventilate their feelings. True story. That church split about 3 or 4 different ways. Never been the same. It didn't help. What? Not one bit. You may think, if I can just gripe, if I can just ventilate and get this out. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The answer is to give God glory and just patiently wait in his presence and say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Oh, but John, I've got something to do. Go ahead. You'll get weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall not get weary. Come on, folks. I'm telling you. You go right ahead. Jump the gun. Try to make it happen. Abraham made the mistake. And Isaac and Ishmael's been fighting ever since. But we don't want to wait, Lord. You told me. And so I'm going to put my hand on it. I'm going to make it work. You can't make it work. It's his church. You're his property. He's got to do it in you and through you and for you and around you and upon you. And there's something in you that offends him. It's called the flesh. It's called the carnal man. And that carnal man has to come to a place of crucifixion. To do that, you've got to deny self. And the hardest thing to do is to wait. It's easier to do something than just to wait. It's easier to do something. Just do something. God says, I want you to be faithful, be thankful, and be patient. I've said this before. An 11-day journey took the Israelites 40 years. And he said, take another trip around Mount Sinai. Griping about God's cooking. You couldn't please him. The greatest pastor there is still couldn't be pleased. Ladies and gentlemen, to gripe, to mumble and grumble is to destroy yourself. Depression. You open the door to demon spirits that'll come in your head. Nothing's right. Everything's wrong. Negative forces will dominate you. I'm not talking about your salvation. So you're going to heaven. You're going through hell to get there. So your heart's right. Your head's messed up. Troubled people cause trouble. Let's get quiet here at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Come on, say amen. Don't leave me out in left field somewhere, folks. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that people that are troubled cause trouble because it just comes out of them. Right before we had our great rally at Branson, the devil came in, and it's been the busiest 2 weeks of my life. As we was communicating with preachers and trying to tie this together, and we had delegated a lot of responsibility, but still you've got to oversee. Right before that, there was a man who was upset because he didn't get his letter and he didn't get contacted. And the bottom line, he wanted to be the main man. I know those spirits. I've worked in those offices. I know how that works, folks. And so regardless what you do, you could apologize 1,000 times. And as I stood there, met him at Captain D's. I believe the devil arranged that meeting. Amen. I ain't never going back to Captain D's. Amen. My little wife stood with me and we walked out and said, Deb, you see what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you something, folks. As I come to this last point, it's in Ephesians, the 4th division, the end of the chapter. It says, be kind. Say it with me. Be kind. I wanted to lay hands on him without praying. How many has ever felt that way? Because I felt like that's what he needed. Me and Jerry feel that way all the time. You can tell. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, God gave me grace, and God will give you grace. The mean time will make you mean if you're not careful, because things aren't working out. Where's that money to pay the house off, to pay the mortgage? You're barely getting by. Irritability surfaces. You see, the junk in you will rise. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. That mean time is a special time, because you don't even know what's in you till you go through these things. That fire underneath you will begin to burn until all the froth comes to the top. And you'll think, I'm not even saved. God said, you're saved, but I want to get the junk out of you. And he wants you to take all that off, scouring, and throw it off. And so, you see, the meantime is not to backslide you. And it's not to make you bitter. It's just to bring out what you are. Amen. I've often said the meantime doesn't make you bitter or better. It just brings out what you are. Amen. And as it brings that out, you submit to God. There's surgery. How many's ever heard this before? He takes the junk out of you. How many's ever heard that one before? For 10 weeks, where you been, folks? 10 weeks. 10 weeks, people. And this is the neat thing about this revival, Pastor. You see, if I was just preaching to the same people over and over again, you know, eventually we're going to come to a place of angelic perfection, you'd think. But isn't it great to see people come from either that, or you people are the worst backslid people I've ever seen in my life. It tickled me the other night when Harlan keeps talking about having to come back time and time again. Sometimes I want to just sit down with Harlan and say, what's your problem, man? But see, his problem is the same as my problem. And it's your problem. It's called flesh. God's taking the junk out of us. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you'll wait on God, be faithful. Don't miss a service. Don't miss a meeting, an appointment with a maker. Be thankful. Grit your teeth, but make yourself shout the shout of faith. The devil may be sitting on your hands. Just lift him up anyhow. Lift him up and make him praise the Lord. Make your pain praise the Lord. Make your stomach ache praise the Lord. Make your headache praise the Lord. Tell that sick body, you're going to church tonight, and you're going to praise God. When your pain, in your strain, you're going to give God glory. My God, give him a hand of praise, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. 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 It's during the meantime when God took me out of the limelight and put me where there was no light. And finally, after just obeying God, I found out I was stripped and being stretched. I said, my God, this hurts. Say amen, somebody. And one day I complained and I said, Lord, there ain't nobody. I went to a fellowship meeting. There's a time I was booked up 3 or 4 years in advance. But God said, don't you call a preacher. You'll never book another meeting. He said, you stay where I know where you're at. I'm working on you. Man, I'm thinking there's going to be 21 gun salute, bands playing, everything going on. There's nothing happening. Nothing happening. Backside of the dead. Lonely place, folks. Lonely place. I've been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt. Amen. Don't want to go back. But somebody's there. The cave. You know, you're wondering. Wilderness. God, you told me. Why isn't this happening? God said it's a waiting time. The meantime. Between the call of God, the calendar of God, the conditioning of God. In everybody's life, look at the Bible, folks. There it is. Between the promise and the provision, there's a problem. You either have a problem, you've had a problem, you are a problem, or you live with a problem. Don't say amen. Don't say amen. But there it is. It looms in front of you. And during those times, you wonder. And I told God one time, I can take you the place, tell you the time, and the state of the physical body. I was just walking down the road, country road, out in the woods where my house was. I said, God, I just been to a fellowship meeting and somebody said, John, where are you at? And it really made me mad because God, everybody knew where I was at one time. I was there in that office and you told me to get out. And you told me I was going to be a part of a great revival. And now I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. And I said, God, nobody knows where I'm at. He says, I know where you're at. How many knows? He knows where you're at. And that's all that matters. And ladies and gentlemen, God's still in control. You may not see things happening the way you want it to happen, but hold on. I said, hold on. I'm telling you right now, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Job went through 6 months of trial and suffering, and all you hear about is poor old Job. Poor old Job, the last time I saw him, he had a double portion. The last time I saw him, he had twice as much. He's in heaven tonight. How many knows he's not poor old Job? Amen. For we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And don't stop there. It says you're to pray in the Spirit. And it also says You're to be conformed to his image. It all goes together there in Romans chapter 8. You take any one ingredient when you're baking a cake, drink some vanilla extract by itself, doesn't taste too good. Raw eggs by itself, not too good. Salt by itself, pretty bland, not too good. Put it all together, mix it together, and see the beautiful cake that comes out. And I'm going to tell you something. God's taken some of us through an oven. We're going through a fiery trial, but he's taking the good, the bad, the ugly that happens, and he's mixing it all together. And ladies and gentlemen, the finished product is going to be a church. I said it's going to be a church, a royal diadem, a gem. It's going to be the apple of his eye. It's going to be the showpiece of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, when all of a sudden the clouds roll back and we look and we see the bridegroom, and all of a sudden angels stand with hushed anticipation, bated breath, and the song is sung, "Here comes the bride," and they turn and they see the victorious throng of God's millions of saints that are washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, bought by the blood of Jesus, perfected and purged. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's the meantime, but I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to be faithful in paying my tithe. I'm going to sing songs of Zion, even if I got pain in my body. I'm going to patiently endure. And I'm going to be kind. Say kind. By this shall all men know. Now, every denomination has its own distinctives. Most of them, the Bible don't say a whole lot about. But the Bible does say, by this shall everybody know. Anybody hearing me? By this, the world has a right to judge you by your kindness. And when I wanted to lay hands on that man without praying, give him the left foot of fellowship, that was old Adam. Don't look so pious. I've seen you in the same situations, folks. But God gave me grace to be kind. And when I walked out, I sat down with Deb. I said, "Deb, he's got a problem. I don't want to add to it. I don't want to add to his problem." Amen? When somebody honks the horn and waves at you, not using their whole hand, you know what I'm talking about? They got a problem. Don't wave at them the same way. Amen? There's going to be some conflict, confrontation. I'm telling you right now, folks, you got a problem. Kindness. Say kindness again. Mike Barber. Big, robust, macho football player, now prison, chaplain, prison ministries, was witnessing to a man. The man cleared his throat and spit in Mike's face. Mike had the power to reach out and crush him. But the grace that God gives in Mike's life, Mike reached in his pocket, got his handkerchief, and he wiped it all off his face, and he said, "I love you. God loves you." To hear the former prisoner tell the story, it's awesome. It was that incident that sowed the seed that brought conviction to the prisoner's life. He gave his heart to Jesus later. And it wasn't the sermon that Mike preached. It was the life he lived. God loves you, and I love you. Howard Goodman was interviewed by Bill Gaither the other day. Howard Goodman's been over the road. Two brothers have already died, gone on to face God. Sung a lot of songs, been a lot of places. Howard, if you had to do it over again, would you do anything different? The aged singer said something that hit me like a ton. He said, "Bill, I try to be a little kinder, a little more understanding." And it hit me. The people that have left impact upon my life have not been the big wingding politicians who lied to you. I'm talking about preachers even. Officials that are climbing the ladder, they're stepping on you to get where they're going. Get out of my way, please. I'm going places, doing things. These people haven't impacted me for God and good. But the sweetly, saintly sisters who were faithful night after night, the brothers, Brother Griggs, former Secretary Treasurer of Southern Missouri District, has the same spirit Brother Baser has, gentle, kind. I saw the political machine begin to roll. And everybody began to duck to try to get out of the way, not wanting to get run over. Brother Griggs had been in there for years. I saw him come after him. And the more they tightened that machine, the more they squeezed him, love came out. Kindness came out. I saw his face get red at times. It was almost embarrassing the way he was talked to. But nothing but pure God was in that man, and that's what came out. And the other day, I was driving down Boonville Avenue in Springfield, Missouri, driving by the buildings, and I looked over and I saw Brother Griggs walking along the side of the road.
And I'm telling you, folks, God came in that van. God touched my heart. I said, God, I thank you for that sweet man of God who's impacted my life. I got saved all over again. I'm telling you something, folks. There's enough big shots and hot shots out there. They're going to meet their day. They're going to meet their maker. But let God put love in your heart, because somebody needs a little kindness. They need that tender touch. The doctor, the good doctor, was asked, what's the greatest medicine? He said, tender love and care. I said, what if that doesn't work? He said, just try a double dose. Amen. How many knows it always works? It always works. And I'm telling you these stories because God gave me this message for you tonight. Be kind. Be kind. This thing's wrapping up fast. You're going to stand before God. Somebody here tonight needs the tender touch, the love of Jesus Christ. Don't get mean in the meantime. Let God work it in you and for you and around you and upon you. Old Roberts, oh my, how much I've criticized him down through the years. God's forgiven me. But I'm telling you, you're not going to hear a negative thing coming out of my mouth about any of God's kids anymore. I'm telling you, it's gone. I don't agree with him on everything. He don't agree with me on everything. But how many knows God's God? And you're not. You're not the judge. You're not even the jury. Man's learned, made his mistakes. But true story, Tommy Barnett tells it. I hope I get the details right. But when his son committed suicide, it was like his whole world came to an end. The funeral, maybe center, place was packed. Hundreds, thousands of people had done their best to comfort and encourage the aged statesman, the preacher. But what do you do? What do you say? Finally, when it came time to go by the coffin, Earl and Evelyn walked up. And as they walked, they stood there for a moment, and you could see his shoulders drooping. Prayed for thousands of people, but there's no trial as heavy as this one. Black than a thousand midnights, a thousand demons weighing heavy on you. You fail. But all of a sudden, in the back, true story, in the back, there was a young man up in the back, up in the balcony, up in a upstage area. In the quietness of that moment, as the preacher's shoulders were drooping, he was slumped over. That man jumped up and said, Brother Roberts, we love you. When he said that, Tommy Barnett said you could almost see the love and the glory of God move in that man's life as Oral Roberts pushed his shoulders up and stood straight. Just those words, Brother Roberts, we love you, gave him the grace and the grit to put his hand on that coffin, take a hold of his wife, and walk away and leave it to God. How many knows all of us got to do that? I said, all of us have to do that. Would you lift your hands right now? God's talking to somebody. He's going to take some junk out of you tonight. Lift your hands and praise God. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Jesus. I want everybody here just for a few moments. You know, gone is the day when I try to put my hand on a service and work something up. God's got something for somebody tonight. Somebody's in the meantime. And I know what you're feeling. It's a waiting period. I want to tell you a real cute story. It's a true story. How many knows about the Special Olympics? Know about Special Olympics? Handicapped children racing? True story. Dr. Dobson tells it. They're lined up on the starting line, and the parents are there to watch. And the referee says, on your mark, you're ready, get set, go. And they take out, wobbling down the track. And then they all stop. And the crowd wonders, why did they all stop? Why are you so mean? God got a hold of me, folks, and done a surgery in my life. And I don't want to revert back. I really don't. You know why? I've never been really happy all my life. There was a time when I was first called to preach the simple life, sincere, simple. Didn't have any money, poor, didn't care. But all of a sudden, you get caught up in the rat race, and you turn into a rat. You get caught up in the politics. Well, you're going to be decapped. Well, they're going to put you in as assistant superintendent. Ladies and gentlemen, it makes me sick, because what came in me was a different person. You're climbing. And I climbed to the top, and I looked, and the ladder was against the wrong wall. People's going to hell. God says, son, I've called you to touch lives for my glory. And I'll use you to set people free, but I've got to set you free. If you were to see my wife and myself yesterday, just holding hands, walking in the mall, enjoying the simple things, just see somebody trying to encourage him, not wanting anything but what he wants. Life is too short. When that lady came up this morning and said, she said to me, my dad died Friday, but he came down here a month ago and got right with God, 71 years old. Boy, heaven's happy today. I'm happy tonight, folks. That's what it's all about. I'm telling you right now, I want you to let God take all the pride, all the junk. Let him take it out of you. He ain't finished with you yet. He's just going to take you to a waiting room. And God's working on you and in you. I want you right now for 30 seconds just to lift both of your hands and to praise him. If you can't say anything but I love you, Jesus, I want you to say it. Just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I really love you, Lord. Father, I don't understand everything, but there's a hand bigger than mine. I'm going to place my hand in yours. You're working on me. You're working in me. I submit to you, Jesus. I give you everything and I hold back nothing. Father, I really don't need answers. I just need you. Oh, God, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me, Lord, for the bitterness. That junk that's surfacing, it's to get it out of me. And Father, I gladly and I accept your will and your way and your time and your strength for your glory and my good. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Whisper the name of Jesus, please. You've got an appointment tonight. This Christmas season, God interrupted my thoughts and said, I want you to tell them they're going through a mean time, but don't get mean. Let me set them free. And God told me you'd be here tonight. I don't know your name, your faces, I see, but God's got your number and you know where you're at. God's given you a promise. It hasn't happened. You're going through a mean time and you want the grace of God to set you free, to work on you. She's playing a song. When she started playing that a while ago, I said, what is that? She said, pour in the oil. Pour in the healing oil. You know, there's going to be a sweet presence sweep over this place in a few moments. And God is going to target, zero in on you, give you the assurance, give you that certain something I don't even know the name of. Let's call it grace. But you're going to walk out of here, shoulders thrown back, head held high. You may not have enough money to pay your bills, but you've got a God who owns it all. And you're going to be faithful. You're going to be thankful. You're going to be patient. You're going to be kind. You're going to be loving. Maybe you're not able to give gifts like you'd like this Christmas. You can give love. You can give yourself. Be kind to family and friends. That's what they'll remember when you're dead and gone. That's what they'll remember, the kindness, because you see they're hurting too. They're hurting too. I'm preaching to hurting people tonight. I feel it. John Davis, I'm going through a mean time in my life, and I want God to set me free from all junk and pour his glory into my life. I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to let it backslide me. I want to do these four things that you told me. You see, God gave me the message for you. Don't even feel like this is happenstance. This is providence, folks. You've got a meeting, an appointment with God right now. John Davis, I'm going through a mean time. I haven't seen it happen yet the way God told me. but I believe God and I need grace. If I'm talking to you, get out of your seat right now and come and stand right here. Hurry. Just come and stand right here in the front of me. Come on. Come on, preachers. Come on, leaders. Come and stand with your hands in the air. I'm going through a mean time. I'm going through a time. I know what it is to deal with frustration, desperation. All kinds of emotions will surface at this time. Come on, hurry. There is an invisible hand moving across this building right now. An invisible hand. He's given the altar call. There's still some others that need to be here right now. There's at least a dozen need to leave your seat. Leave your pride. Lay your pride right there in the pew. Lay your pride. God knows you can't make it. You're not big enough. You can't make it by yourself. He knows that. He wants you to admit it. And if you will admit and submit to Him, at your weakest point, God's going to be strong in you. The strength of the Lord. He strips you and He stretches you to strengthen you. Oh, how I've learned that. The nights that I said, God, take me on to heaven. I am a failure. I've left the limelight. There's no light where I'm at, Lord. Churches don't want the kind of revival you want. I'm sick of churches. I don't want to preach another 3-day meeting. My God, I want what you want. And God begins to hook you up with people like this pastor that says, God, I want what you want. God told me there's at least a dozen more people need to be standing here tonight. If I was an evangelist impressed with the crowd, I'd stop now, but I'm not. You see, there's others right now. You're going through a waiting period. And God wants to give you grace. God's taken some junk out of you. He's done it for 10 weeks, going into 10 weeks. I'm telling you, folks, there's no stopping this revival. The day may come that God leads John Davis on, but there's no stopping this revival. This is ordained of God. This is a mighty move of God. Come on. I'm waiting. The Holy Spirit's moving. There's 4 or 5 that came. Another one comes. John Davis, I'm going through a mean time. I'm a waiting period. Seemed like a holding pattern. Could be in your family, your business, personal life. Just come and stand in His presence. As you come, lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. Others are coming. 1, 2 more. See, the reason I wait on an altar call is God keeps pressing. He keeps pushing. He's speaking to somebody else. If He deals, if He nudges your heart, if you feel that nudge and that tug, quickly and quietly just move out in the aisle and walk away from your sorrow and your sadness and your trial and walk to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Another one's coming. I release you right now and I set you free. Another one's coming. God bless you, hon. Everybody just close your eyes and whisper the name of Jesus. I think of the elderly man who's in heaven tonight who died Friday because we was in revival at First Assembly. I think of tomorrow night when everybody's going shopping, there's a group that says, no, we're coming to God's house. We want Holy Ghost revival, and somebody's going to be saved tomorrow night, and it'll be worth it when we stand in His presence. Jesus. Yeah, I believe there's about 6 more that need to be standing, and I'm going to wait. If you're going through a mean time, you need grace. Dave, I want you to sing that song if you know it. As he sings that song, if you're going through a mean time in your life and you just want grace, get out of your seat and come and join these that are standing here.
For your healing oil through me, for your
family members, I want you to come and stand with these that are here. Sing it again, Dave, as family comes.
For your
healing.
Sweet Jesus. Oil through me. For your healing.
Oh, hallelujah. Slip your hands up, everybody. Sing it again, Dave. It's a mighty song. Everybody just lift your hands and open your heart. Pour your healing. Jesus. Play softly. Would you lift both of your hands to heaven, those that are standing? I want you to say these words to God and realize you're talking to God Almighty. Dear God, I receive your word, your healing, your oil. Pour it in me, Jesus. Set me free from all junk. Take it out of me. All pride, earthly ambition, carnality, all sin. I repent in Jesus' name. Break the bondage that's on me and in me right now. In the name of Jesus, I know, dear Lord, you've got a plan for my life. You haven't forgotten, nor have you forsaken me. Right now, in this meantime, by your grace, I will be faithful to your word, to prayer, to your house. I will be thankful. I'll praise you always. By your grace, I will patiently endure. And with your help, by your grace, fill me with your love, with your kindness. The more I'm squeezed, the love of Jesus will come out of me. I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, I give you permission to work on me, to work in me. I'm yours. I surrender all. Right now, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, my sins are forgiven, forgotten, forever. Under the blood, behind your back, in the sea, I'm your child. I'm your child. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody lift your hands and just praise him. I just sense a sweetness of his presence. I just sense a sweetness of his presence. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Go ahead and yield to him. The Holy Spirit's all over you. He's all over you. Jesus, the glory of the Lord's on you right now. The glory of the Lord's on you right now in the name of Jesus. He's on you right now. Praise him, church. Praise him. I'm telling you, the glory cloud is coming down on us right now. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. That's the glory. That's the glory. Just yield to him, folks. Just yield to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the bad stuff and all the junk he's taken out of you. He's got to do it, but he'll do it tonight. He's doing it right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. As I pray the command of deliverance, God's going to change your life. Right now, in the name of the mighty Jesus of Nazareth, I set you free. I remove all obstructions out of your life. I rebuke every hindering force from you. I cancel Satan's assignment against your life, against your family, against your ministry. The mighty name of Jesus, I speak deliverance inside of you. I speak healing and hope and help. Oh, makasima kosaya. Moka sabando kotorima sakaya. Makasanda kahaya. Open your mouth and precipitate the glory of God. He's coming into you. I see him on your face. I see the glory all over you tonight. Jesus. Prayer teams, come and stand behind me. Hurry. My God, I feel that invisible hand sweeping across this building. Don't you be afraid or ashamed to bawl and squall in his presence. Don't you be afraid or ashamed to break in his presence. This is a sweet night, and God ordained it to bring sweetness to your soul. Praise him, everybody. Jesus. Jesus is in the house. My God, I feel the glory coming down. Those of you that are standing out there by your seat, if you want a fresh anointing on your life and ministry, just get out of your seat and stand in the aisle, because prayer teams that have been praying hours a week are going to touch you and you'll never be the same. You want fresh anointing, fresh oil. Hundreds, probably thousands, have been impacted. My kasanda mahaya. Father, I give you the glory and all the responsibility right now in Jesus' name. Come on, prayer teams, I want you to come right now. Help me. The glory cloud's already here. He's here. The glory cloud is here. When they touch you, you may fall, you may not. You may weep, you may shake, you may laugh. You may stand perfectly still. We don't seek any manifestation. We seek God. But the glory cloud's here. I feel him. He's heavy in this place right now. The glory cloud is heavy in this place right now. I'm coming out to lay hands on you as well in just a few moments. Prayer teams, glory of God's already moving. There's people soaking in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Praise him, everybody. Praise him, everybody.